And we'll put
The
this
study
study
paper
up
in.
and we'll blow the trumpet. Shabbat Shalom, congregation. And you what? Anyway, well, it's very nice to be here today on the Sabbath. We are Kahacha ben Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael, and we're here today on God's Sabbath. And I was happy the Sabbath came because it's just nice to forget about everything and just think about God for a change. And the world doesn't have that, you know, the world doesn't have that. So we can actually take a break and blank out, duck out of the world. So, without any further ado, let's say a prayer and ask God to bless and anoint today's study. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. We thank you for another Sabbath, Lord and God. Bless and anoint this study today. Bless and anoint everyone here and on the internet and anyone that would listen to this message in the future. Teach us something we didn't know. Take away anything that's corrupt. We pray, Lord and God, that you'll move in our lives. Anything of you, Father, let it happen easy. Anything that's not of you, put obstacles in the way. We just thank and praise you. You're a God that never fails. Bless this Sabbath. Bless everything that's done. I pray you'll heal anyone here that needs healing in their bodies. Touch them. Touch their bodies. Touch their minds, their souls. Help us in every endeavor. You know exactly what we need in our lives, Father. I know you're not... You definitely see us and you hear us. Bless this Sabbath and may God make this study fruitful for you and for the glory of the living God. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, today is the 5th of September, 2015. It's amazing. 2015. I don't even know where 14 years went. We started so long ago, it seems like here we are. We're in the seventh month of God right now. It's the 20th day of Elul. You know what's really strange about September? September actually means seven, you know? But nowadays it's the ninth month, which is really ridiculous. I mean, if you look at the word September, it means seven, right? However, all that's wrong because we're really in the sixth month of God Elul, which and the 20th day. So seventh month's wrong, the ninth month's wrong, but we're in the sixth month.
That's a mess.
It really is. But the average person doesn't know, and who knows? I don't think most people even care. And here's the two verses that prove Elul right there. Okay. You guys know my ministry is a teaching ministry. I try to bring up subjects and topics, maybe that's not discussed, and try to undelete some of these things for you. Everyone here is very familiar, I'm sure, and because you guys have been here for years now. Or our guests only come for one day, one Sabbath, and they're gone. But anyway, we're here. Here's our studies right here. You could read them. My server is still running. You could listen to them. You could watch them, you could download them, and I got to update my server at home, my external drive. I keep everything on an external drive too, come to think of it. I keep everything in a few places. That's my journal, in case the Lord takes me. I have a whole external server to explain who I am, because one day, who knows, the internet might be over. I don't know. Some people are thinking it might be over one day. That's another subject. But anyway, we're on Pow Talk right now. I believe we're streaming live at this website, which is right there, MMS. And there is the whole big, long URL right there. I haven't received any invites lately to come to people's congregations to teach on the Hebrew roots, or even it's really amazing, this coming holy days and feasts, not too many people are interested either. We usually get a few calls, you know, but it seemed, I was telling Carrie, today felt like a different kind of day today. It felt quiet or something, felt different today. I don't know, something feels different today. There's my link for scheduling me in case you ever want me to show up in your locale. Okay? Of course, I'll be talking about this until they commence, and but these are the coming holy days and feast in summary. And I give those two examples. You guys know that. You want me to go over that, or you guys got that down?
It's either the 15th. You can start on the 15th.
Right. It's either the 15th or the 16th it's going to start, and it's always the evening before, right? Everybody understands that. And it's so you just start calculating. That's that. This is the thing I like to always bring up is there's four extra Sabbaths right here, so that's what to remember. The first day, the 10th day, the 15th, and the 22nd, they're all Sabbaths, which most people are not going to get because these Sabbaths, let's say it starts the 15th. That means, look at that, Tuesday, Thursday, and Tuesday, and Tuesday are all Sabbaths and they start the evening before, right? But let's say it's going to be on the 16th, right? Then Wednesday, Friday, Wednesday, and Wednesday. Isn't that amazing? So that means Tuesday night starts the Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? Huh? Yes, amen to that. That's right. Most people never heard of this before. But anyway, these are the coming holy days and feast. We have the memorial blowing the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And then we have that 8th day celebration, Today's topic is false prophets and prophecies abound. Lately, I don't know, in the last month, I've been hearing just, and I've been inundated with all these things that are supposed to happen in September, and the coming market crash and the coming dollar crash and all this kind of stuff. And I keep wondering, well, it looks to me between 6 to 7 to 8 years every year, every 6 to 8 years, seems like the market corrects itself. It doesn't seem like a strange thing to me. I don't know. Some people try to write books and make money on it, But anyway, let's read Matthew 7:15. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." It's a very good verse right there. You might think it's simple, but if you think about it, first of all, they look like a prophet, whatever that looks like. I don't know what a prophet looks like. But they're coming to you as your best friend or as harmless as can be, sheep's clothing. I'm sure the sheep are not happy because they gave up their clothing. But I mean, but anyway, but these people are coming in sheep's clothing, right? But inwardly, they're wolves. I don't know if you ever watch wolves on TV. I do. They're mean. They come in packs too. Yeah. So this is what you got to beware of because they might look like true prognosticators, which are not something to observe. But Matthew 24:11, which we read last night, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And there shall arise false Christs. And Yeshua said this. And I was thinking at Apostle Paul's time, he even said there was another Jesus, so another false Christ and another Messiah. And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. But the difference with this is in the last days, which are not today, but in the very last days, these people are going to show great signs and wonders, which is beyond my imagination, and I'm sure yours also, because we're so used to everything, what we call the norm, but to see some kind of great sign and wonder is going to be something you got to be careful. You know why? Because in so much, if it were possible, they might deceive you, the very elect. So be careful. You might go, "Well, that's God." Watch out. Peter tells us, he says, "There was false prophets also among the people, and even as there shall be false teachers among you." And just being on Pow Talk, there's probably, I don't know, how many people are on Pow Talk today? There's a gazillion of false teachers. That's just on this one little program. Imagine all the other programs that are out there, chat rooms and stuff. These false teachers are going to bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What's really sad is The sad part is many are going to follow their pernicious ways. Many. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. It's amazing. Whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. In other words, their judgment is coming, whether they know it or not. And the way you know that, God gives you some examples, because if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, some people don't believe in hell. We found that out last week, or they don't know about that. Yeah. God cast the angels down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And guess what? He spared not the old world. They're down there also. But he only saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And these people are down there today too, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example of those are the people that should live ungodly. And guess what? There's always one or two righteous people, you know, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I feel like that sometimes, you know. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So people's unlawful deeds should vex you, you know. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of to be punished. Really? People don't like that. I thought they're going to burn out or fizz out. It looks like they're going to be punished, right? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness. They despise any kind of rules and regulations. They despise government. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They only follow themselves. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, anyone that's doing the right things, or even us. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Right? But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, they speak evil of the things which they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Wow. And they shall receive here's their reward. They're going to receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. And God says, spots they are, and blemishes. As we all know, no spot and blemish is going to make it, right? Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. How about that? So you might find people that are just like that. You know, they're in the delusion of whatever they think they're doing. They want you to come and partake. Having eyes full of adultery, which is also lust, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. I'll tell you what, Peter has a lot of descriptions here, huh? A heart they have exercised. You know when you exercise? They've exercised their heart with covetous practices. They're cursed children. You know why? Because they have forsaken the right way. And they've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved his wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. And then more of a description. These are wells without water. We have a well, and it has water. I'm happy it does, but I can't imagine a well without water. I mean, how about clouds that are carried with a tempest? To whom the mist of darkness is reserved for a week?
Forever.
Forever. Really? Uh-oh. For while they speak great swelling words of vanity, oh, I want to do this for you, I want to do this for you, I want to buy, get this for you, I want to... They allure through the lust of your flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise you liberty, come with me, you'll be free. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a person is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. Amen. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, which we have right now, this is talking about people like us, and God forbid this ever happens to us, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome. And the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, which you're still guilty, than after they have known it, turn from it, turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The holy commandment delivered unto us is we got to keep God's commandments, right? Fear God. Accept the Messiah. Accept the atonement. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, and I didn't write the proverb in there. Did you guys have it in your Bible? 26:11? Proverbs 26:11. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing goes back to the mire. So a dog always goes back to his vomit. And unfortunately, those little piggies, after they get clean, they always go back to the mire because they like slopping around, right? That's the way, and that's just like the people that know God and they like to go slop around in their sins. So we have Yeshua saying this already, Peter, here's John, three witnesses so far. Little children, it's the last time, and if he says it's the last time, we could definitely say today, yeah, it must be really the last time. It's got to be closer because it's almost 2,000 years later. As you have heard, Antichrist shall come. They even heard Antichrist was going to come back there because they read the book of Daniel. Even now, he says there's many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. So how do you recognize them? Well, these Antichrists, they went out from us. You know why? Because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. And that makes it manifest. But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Amen. And John always says this, and I feel like the same thing because I write these every week. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. Amen. Who is a liar? Well, one person that's a liar. The ones that deny Yeshua is the Messiah. There's a lot of fake messiahs running out there. And if you don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah, you're Antichrist. If you deny the Father and the Son. Whoso denies the Son, if you deny Yeshua, the same hath, you don't have the Father. So if you don't, if you deny the Son and you don't have the Father, what do you have? Nothing. Yeah. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also, of course. And if you keep his commandments, that is. Let this therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And that's what we want to do. We want the Father and his Word, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise that he had promised us, so don't lose it. It's eternal life. And everyone's going to have eternal life, even the wicked. Some people don't like that. They think the wicked are just going to fizz out somewhere. That's not equal. John says in his letter there, he goes, beloved, don't believe every spirit. And now there's a lot of spirits on the internet and on TV trying to scare people into all kinds of things. But you have to try the spirits, whether of God. And some people use God for everything. And Bible prophecies and the end of the world and, you know, the eschatology and all that, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, the Messiah, is come in the flesh, is of God. And today, of course, we have to add to that because there's so many false Yeshuas out there. You have to make sure you have the right one, right? Every spirit that confesses not that Yeshua the Messiah has come in the flesh is not of God, obviously. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come. Even now it's already in the world. So if it's already in the world back then, you know it's in the world mightily today. And the iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, it's already flourishing in the land. So after reading all these things about false prophecies, I just want to show you some of the things that are circulating on the net, okay? Many false predictions. I mean, I'm only going to give you a couple, which some of these you might sound really crazy. So here's some future prophecies. I put a question mark, or maybe not. Taken from the net. Here's a guy called Mark Blitz in 2008 and John Hagee. They keep claiming that the blood moons in 2014 didn't work, so now there's 2015, may represent prophecies allegedly given in the Bible relating to the second coming of Yeshua the Messiah. That's wrong. Where does it say in the Bible that you got to look for blood moons for the second coming of the Messiah? And those are just eclipses anyway. They're not. The moon doesn't turn blood. Anyway. This is going on big time right now, gigantic. The collapse of the dollar, the market collapse is all over the net. And this one person I was listening to, this messianic rabbi, that's a direct prohibition from Yeshua. He has a book. His name is Jonathan Kahn. He has this, I'm not saying he's a Kahn. But anyway, that's his name, C-A-H-N. He wrote a book, The Harbinger. And, you know, I don't know about who needs that book, because he's trying to say the next Judaism Shemitah is going to be September 13th, and that's when the market's going to really zoom down. And, you know, if it does, I don't think it's because it's a Shemitah. You know, number one, the calendar in Judaism is totally off, so you can't rely on that. Number two, you can't rely on Judaism. And number three, you can't rely on anyone that's called a messianic rabbi, because that's a direct prohibition. Yeah. And not only that, you can't rely on the Shemitah, because no one would know when that even started. How would you know? You know, the Shemitah, it is in the Feast of Tabernacles, but the Feast of Tabernacles comes every year. How would you know which one is the Shemitah? How would you know when? So the whole thing is so, you know, it's so made up. Shemitah is the release in Deuteronomy 31 and Deuteronomy, I think, 11. Yeah, the Shemitah. Okay. Do we have a guest out there trying to stop? And I wonder what they're up to. Okay. Seems like the market corrects itself every six, seven, 8 years. Who needs a book to tell us? I guess the guy wants to keep selling his book, and everyone's falling for it. You know, he's got a beard, and he's a messianic rabbi, and all that stuff. I don't know. Anyway, September also, this other rabbi, Chaim, however you say that name, Kaniska, he sounds Polish, Kaniska Giski, whatever, however you say that, he claims that the arrival of the Jewish Messiah is imminent. Really? I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. How about in September 23rd, there's a lot of references given right now. The asteroid's going to hit us. Okay? How about October 7th, 2015? This guy, Chris McCann, and an E-Bible Fellowship predict the possible destruction of the universe on this date, which is 1,600 years after Herod Comping's date of 2011, May 21st. So in other words, they keep changing the date. But anyway, this year, the universe is supposed to blow up. Anyway. Okay, 2016. In 2016, this is all from the net. I didn't make this up. This guy, Tom Watkins, he had a vision of the Great Tribulation claiming to have met the beast of Revelation. What do you think of that?
Nightmare.
Turns out the same day as a solar eclipse, though, of course, he'll mention it.
Oh, you
He'll never mention that, you know, but anyway, he's thinking that the big tribulations are coming in 2016. Various Christians think that the great tribulations are going to begin 2017. Hal Lindsey even said 2018 is the second coming.
Oh, he's changed his mind.
He's changed his mind so much.
Yeah. I wouldn't believe anything.
Gene Dixon says in 2020, claims that Armageddon will take place and Jesus will return to defeat the unholy Trinity and the Antichrist, Satan and the false prophet, between 2020 and 2037. However, Gene Dixon also predicted the world would end on February 4th, 1962.
Yeah.
So, you know,
how can you believe
anything? I don't know. How about this one? 2021. This guy, you can look his name up, F. Kenton Bishore, based his prediction on the prior suggestions that Jesus would return in 1988. Within one biblical generation, 40 years of the founding of Israel, 1948. I have no idea why do people use 1948, which is a Gregorian calendar year? And yes, that wasn't really a question, rhetorical question. That wasn't the actual question. I was just trying to say, this guy, Bishore, he argues that the prediction was correct, but that the definition of the biblical generation was incorrect and was actually now it's 70, 80 years.
Because he missed it.
And placing the second coming of Yeshua is between 2018 and 2028. And then, I don't know what he's talking about, but the rapture is going to happen 2021. Or the latest. So Yeshua and the... The rapture, what's that? What rapture? So anyway, that's all ridiculous. Scratch that. 2026, there's a place called the Messiah Foundation International. Members predicted that the world is to end in 2026 when an asteroid would collide with the Earth. Where does it say that in the Bible, that an asteroid is going to collide? And this is in accordance with this other guy, you could read his name, his prediction in the religion of God. And, of course, the chances of that happen is 1 in 300,000, you know. I doubt an asteroid's going to wipe us out. Anyway, not today at least. In 2030, check this out. The approximate date of mass extinction event predicted by Bob Geloff, Miles Allen of Oxford University, they're claiming competing hyperbole. Hyperbole.
Isn't that
the why you still have hyperbole? Yeah, hyperbole are helpful in understanding real climate change. It's unhelpful. So these guys are predicting mass extinction in 2030. Won't be here probably. I don't know.
This is a good fiction.
Well, anyway, 2035, there's more asteroids coming. 2036. I want you to see this, 2035 asteroids, 2036 more asteroids, might kill you. 2037, Hal Lindsey said the third coming.
What's the third coming?
I don't know what that is. 2038 is the deterioration of the fundamental older technology that still underlies the most critical systems today. That might happen, and I don't know how they know that in 2038. 2030, this is to cheer you up. 2039 is the end of life, the universe and everything. It's also known as the ascension, whatever that means. And then, of course, we don't want to leave out 2040, more asteroids. More asteroids might show up. More asteroids are coming, okay? 2060, even Sir Isaac Newton got in this. He researched the Bible and says Jesus will rapture his church on one jubilee from the time of Israel reacquiring Jerusalem. Even Isaac Newton jumped in there. I don't know. He should have stuck with his science and stay away from the biblical studies. 2120. Wow, 2120. That's far away in the future, isn't it? this guy right here, according to the Hadith, the Sunni Muslim creationist claims that the last day will come about the year 20. The last day will be 2120. This other guy, as you're looking at it, 2129. This other guy saying it's going to happen at that date, 2129. So that's 9 years difference right there. And they're both reading the same book. You see that? They're both reading the same book, the Hadith, and they're both Sunni Muslims. And they're both saying two different dates. Anyway, how about 2239? Judaism even jumps in there. And according to the Talmud, mainstream Orthodox Judaism, Messiah will come within 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, and the world would possibly be destroyed 1,000 years later. This would put the beginning of the period of the desolation in the year 2239, because their calendar is so off, and the end of the period of desolation would be 3239, which is totally ridiculous. So that's totally wrong. Well, wait till you see the rest of these. 2280, according to this other guy, who's also researching the Quran code, said the world would end in 2280. Rashad.
Well, none of us are going to be around to know if he's true or not.
Well, how about this one? How about in 500 million years, this guy James Hastings, according to the scientists, the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will drop dramatically, making the Earth uninhabitable in 500 million years.
I don't think anybody's
going to
know.
How about this one?
5 billion years?
In 5 billion years, various scientists, which I'm starting to wonder if they're really scientists, they say the end of the sun's current phase of development, after which it will swell into a red giant, either swallowing the earth or at least completely scorching it, or maybe just scorching it. It's widely accepted by the scientific community that the earth will be destroyed around this time. So don't bite your fingernails. This is 5 billion years from now. However, as the sun gradually gets hotter however, the sun grows gradually hotter over millions of years, the earth may become too hot for life in only 1 billion years from now. So I laughed and I said, oh, only 1 billion years from now. Let's worry about that. And the next one is 10 to the 100th power, which I couldn't even figure out how many zeros. That's like 100 zeros or more. Anyway, that's what they say. That's what they say. They say various scientists say that, check this out, in beyond imagination of time in the future, which we can't even 10 to the 100th power, the heat death of the universe is suggested the ultimate fate of the universe, in which the universe has diminished to a state of no thermodynamic free energy and therefore can no longer sustain motion of life. And the cow jumped over the moon. That's all I could say. And on and on and on. So all these prophecy, and this is just some of the stuff that, you know, I went from the people that think they're messianic rabbis to just regular scientists, to regular people, to the person that thinks they could tell the future, to scientists. And they're all, you know, they all got these, but you can backtrack that on the net too. They have prophecies from 2013 way back. And you see all the crazy prophecies people would have had you never. Yeah, I mean, all I could tell you is, I'm happy Yeshua was there. He says in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. I'm not. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You know why? I'm going to worry about right now. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. I'm going to conquer today. And if tomorrow comes, I'll conquer that too. But worry about today. Worry about the present, right?
Can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about tomorrow.
Now, you guys all know about the Sabbath, so I'm not going to read this. I had this on here in case we had some guests. If anyone does know about the Sabbath, and because we have four extra Sabbaths coming in the seventh month of God, or eighth Anim, and I explained the whole Sabbath. But that's the end of my little study for today. It wasn't a lot, but I just wanted to jump in on the conversation in the world, because this month is supposed to be like the doom and gloom. And I'm thinking like, well, when the other, like in 2001, 2008, and whatever the years were, when the market went down, the world still went on. As far as the dollar collapsing, I don't know. I don't hear any big announcers on TV talking about it for real. I mean, only the people that want to sell books, you know, and get you excited, you know, conspiracy theory kind of people. So anyway, if the dollar changes, what's going to happen to you? Are you still going to breathe air?
We'll go to the
Well, anyway, all I can say is don't think about those things are just crazy. Just worry about today. Matter of fact, I think Satan's trying to get everybody's mind off the Feast of God, the Feast of God coming in the holy days. Think about the memorial of the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles coming. That'll be better off. Way more important. I don't hear people talking about that. But anyway, we are. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you to making us cautious of false prophets and prophecies in many different arenas and areas of the world. And keep us, Lord and God, away from all these things. Keep our minds at peace and shalom in you, knowing that you're a God that's in control, and you'll let us know when we're supposed to do something and the way we're supposed to do it. And we believe that. We will stand in the holy place, and that's a place in God. And it's very comforting to know that you're our buckler and our shield, and you're our God, and there's none else. May God bless you today on the Shabbat and keep you. May God comfort you and heal you. And may God always be with you, and keep your eyes focused on the eastern skies if it happens in our lifetime. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your word that we stand on and everything that you've taught us and teach us more. Take away anything that's corrupt and take away and only fill us with your truth in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May God bless you and be with you. Shabbat Shalom. Tomorrow may come, so you better get ready. Amen.